is Davin's Den. Is Davin's Den.
All right, guys. Thank you guys for hanging out or listening. Appreciate it. My voice is shot. There was a lot of ranting going on. I had a pre-show rant, which is not on the podcast, but it's on the Facebook Live thing, Facebook Live version of Davin's, and that'll be up. And many rants during that. I'm already shot. I shot my load, and there's more women that need to be serviced. I am in trouble here, kids.
But I don't know what you were thinking going for going for the gusto so early.
Well, listen, I will service all that needs to be serviced. Even if I am firing blanks, I will not go quietly into the good nights. Let's do some School of Fools. Come on.
Ring around the rosy, bucket full of posies. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Shame. School of Fools.
A Florida teenager was arrested at his high school for a parole violation. How many high school kids did you know that were on parole? Jesus Christ.
Very key to the story here.
I didn't think I knew anybody on parole when I was in school.
Not in my crowd. When he took off his mask, like it was a Scooby-Doo villain, during a panic attack, according to a report. The 60-year-old student's mother, Alexis Rodriguez, told the Orlando Sentinel that her son went to the school office because he was panicking and only refused to wear a mask as he was having trouble breathing. He was then issued a discipline referral by the dean of Winter Springs High School and arrested because he was on probation and had been ordered not to get in trouble on campus, the paper said, citing Seminole County Sheriff's Office arrest reports. I couldn't grasp it at first. Because of the mask, Rodriguez said, of the September 17th arrest of her son, who was not identified, I was just in disbelief, revealing that she had earlier met with school officials to ask for a mask-wearing exemption for her son because of his anxiety attacks. Well, sure, the fuzz is on his heels. The family's attorney, Jose Rivas, called the arrest government abuse. We will be seeking just and fair compensation for the illegal arrest and the harm that this action caused. Should they be arresting a 16-year-old child knowing he already has a medical condition? A spokeswoman for the sheriff's office insisted the arrest was for probation violations and not directly for breaking the district's strict rule on all students and teachers wearing masks. Rodriguez refused to tell the paper why her son was on probation. The sheriff's office reports that the teenager had been asked to wear a mask multiple times without putting it on and also refused to keep his social distance from school staff. He's a close talker. The teen also never mentioned feeling ill or any other medical reason why he could not comply with the rules, the arrest report claimed. So it's interesting here, like a panic attack. I would think that wouldn't you need, like, shouldn't you get, like, a note from, like, a therapist, like a psychologist or a psychiatrist saying, listen, you know, I'm treating this patient, and he gets panic attacks, and you know, and when he does that, he can't breathe. Wouldn't that be a reason?
I guess, but it seems like it's a problem.
Yeah, it sounds like something that you would have prearranged with the school to let them know that there's an issue with this particular kid, that they're prone to this, so that...
Well, she did. And the mother claimed she did have the conversation.
Well, but then again, there was a communication breakdown because the kid came into the office supposedly having the panic attack, but then didn't say that they were having a panic attack, and nobody could figure it out. Like, where was this note in their file, or was it like communicated to people that could actually do something about it?
Yeah, but the thing is, we don't know if the mother communicated and they didn't file it, like you suggest, or if the mother never had it. I mean, that's why. I mean, something like that should be. If this is a real thing, there should be a note from a physician or a psychologist in the front office and in the nurse's office. That's where this should be. And I think
another thing in here is that he was also asked, he refused to keep his social distance from the school. So it's not like, you know, it's not like he had an episode and he didn't get into trouble. He seemed like a problem. He was also asked to, you know, to keep his social distance. The kid seems like a problem, and I think this is just something. I think his parent, the mother, is just an enabler for this kid.
It's really hard to tell from the information that's given here because it could really go either way. Either this is a kid who is a problem kid and he came into the office for whatever reason and wouldn't stay away from people and was like getting in people's faces and then the mom was saying, but he was having a panic attack. Or it could legitimately be a kid who came in with a panic attack, couldn't communicate that. It should have been known by those people, and they should have, like, helped him rather than being punitive about it. But you really can't tell from what's in this article which way it really was.
Yeah, it's hard, and that's why I don't know what the hell happened, but I tend to think, again, I don't know why he was on probation. You don't hear too many high school kids on probation. But let's say it wasn't something major. I don't know what that could be. It seems like an arrest is a little much for this. It seems like something that could be handled with, like, a suspension or something.
You know what, though? The whole probation thing comes in. You know, that's the thing. If he was on probation, it sounds like this guy was a problem.
Right, but that's if he got... That's like the police get called in, like, say if he got in a fight with another student or he stole something. That I feel like that's why they said, call us, then that's a violation of his probation. Like, I feel like this isn't – what happened here does not go to that level. What the hell?
Yeah, no. I mean, it should – what was going on, I mean – you know, when they say he was not keeping socially distant, that could be anything from some, you know, person in the office going, stay away from me, stay away from me, to him going, oh, yeah, what are you going to do about it? I mean, what does that mean? What really, the language is so, vague that you can't really tell what happened in the situation. And really, would this be a parole violation? Like, how far was the kid wigging out?
Yeah, like if he started hitting somebody, hitting a teacher.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Let's say he was, like, purposely, like, breathing on the teacher, like we've seen in some of these viral videos where people are upset about wearing masks. Okay. All right, now you have my interest. But if he's just – this kind of sounds like a kid who's challenged in some way, is very socially – not awkward, just inept, doesn't know social cues and everything. Joe might be right that the parent might be an enabler. Maybe she's not equipped to handle this. It seems like there's a lot there. I just don't know if it's worth him getting arrested for.
But the thing about it is, if he had mental challenges, I think that would have been addressed during reasons whatever he was charged for. And
I don't know.
I think whatever those charges were would not warrant, you know, him being out on parole.
You know
what I'm saying? Where they would have taken those issues into consideration and saying, look, he's got issues, these documents are dismissed or whatever, and you know, he wouldn't need a but seems that there was a parole violation. Whatever situation, whatever affliction he has is not enough to release him from his actions. You know what I'm saying?
There's just not enough information for me to come down one way or the other. It just sounds like it's very unfortunate. I don't think the police should have been called in. It sounds like this kid was inappropriate, so discipline should have been happened. But without all the information, I can't say whether that should escalate to arrest and violation of their probation. There's just not enough there. It's an unfortunate story. Listen, man, this kid's not going down a good path. I hope somebody can intervene and help this kid and maybe gets his anxiety under control, help him get on the straight and narrow, because this sounds like somebody we'll be reading about in Florida in the future.
Yeah, it's sort of like once somebody gets into the system, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, in teaching, there's the well-known halo effect. There's certain students, you know, people show cultural and racial bias towards certain students. And, you know, like there's a teacher that prefers female students. Well, the halo effect is they tend to grade them better and expect better things out of them and expect better behavior and ascribe better behavior to them than the ones that they think are troublemakers. So now once this kid is already in the system, so now he starts behaving in a way that's out of the norm instead of going, oh my God, what's going on with Johnny? Is he okay? They're going, oh, Johnny's already a troublemaker. He's probably causing trouble. Rather than maybe saying, Johnny has issues. We need to help him. Maybe, you know,
thing is, it's not 1962. You know, there was a lot of attention with kids having, you know, social disorders on that. So you would think this would have been addressed, and I think it was addressed. But I think I think he's a problem.
Joe, this is Florida. I mean, you're trying to use common sense. I don't mean to be like that, but Joe's trying to apply common sense. The reason we have a category with School of Fools is because so often in these schools, bad decisions are made. You throw in Florida. I don't really want to assume that shit was done right. I'm not willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. So that's why I said, nope. I don't know.
Yeah, nope.
But to Pip's point, I was in a situation where, like, I think I was going into eighth grade and for biology. Mrs. Bell. And everybody loved this teacher. I never had her before until I had her. But everybody loved this teacher. So I guess one of the things that she did was she asked, like, the period before, a couple periods, other periods of my grade, about the students. Oh, tell me. I got these kids in my class. Tell me about them. Which is a terrible fucking thing to do with eighth graders. That's a terrible fucking thing to do. Why are you going to why is an adult going to have their opinion based of another student based on what on other eighth graders say? What a terrible, awful idea. So anyway,
awful.
Well, anyway, apparently all these eighth graders, the class before me or sometimes earlier, told them I was a real troublemaker, and I wasn't. I was a good kid in the eighth grade. Now I'm an asshole. But in the, like in the eighth grade, yeah, maybe I would be chatty. But
sounds
I was
like you were in the comedy business again.
Yes. Yes, it's the same type of... Yes, comedy's like the eighth grade.
What, did you have a make a tape of you in social studies? So you could just show...
But they...
Have a tentiary.
So, like, she already didn't like me before I was there. And then she told me as much in front of... Well, they said, you know, they said this, that about you. I was fucking mortified. I mean, I wound up getting along fine with her, but I started out behind the fucking eight ball. And I definitely had teachers who liked girls more than boys and everything.
Yeah. You get teachers like that. I think also in college, I mean, I've had professors who just flat out, I don't know what the hell I did to them, but they didn't like me. Not at all. You know?
Yeah, it's really weird.
Professor couldn't stand me. I didn't do anything.
I've said before on the show, I got called out of a psychology class because...
That's crazy.
by my professor and a couple of police officers because somebody made threats to the professor over the phone and they thought it was me.
What? Wow.
Yeah, it's like, I don't even like the phone.
Anybody who knows, you know that's true.
Yeah.
You did have a certain booker think he's going to be running a room somewhere.
Wait, which one? Well, which one?
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, that one. And then your fucking buddy has it in his fucking delusional head that I tried to sue him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's just fucking insanity. Yeah, so basically the stand-up comedy business is like the eighth grade. That's what...
Disgusting.
Well, you know what? You're one grade behind the rest of the world where everything is still high school.
I guess.
Yeah. And all sometimes right. I still feel like I'm getting left back.
As well you should. All right. So I'm going to play some audio now. It's going to drop the N-word a couple times. I'm going to play the audio, and then we're going to get into the story. This is from that professor's class. So.
Ooh.
Oh, I thought it was me in traffic. All right.
Oh, God.
Giving you the benefit of the doubt.
Down here. Oh, okay. And that word is nigger. Okay? That's when I was a young man. All right? That was a very commonly used word. You know, know what Brazil nuts are, right?
Yeah.
Okay. When I was a kid, people called them nigger toes. Could we do that now, Beth?
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. When I had a little extra money and I was spending it extravagantly, somebody might say I was nigger rich. Okay. Would we do that today?
No.
No. If I was...
And apparently you can't do it now. Gary Shank, who's the professor who you heard in that, used the racial slur at least 3 times during a September 9th Zoom session of his educational psychology course on child and adolescent development. Duquesne professor Gary Shank said that it argued that it was okay since it was being used in an educational setting. I'm giving you permission to use the word, okay, Shank says on the clip, because we're using the word as a pedagogical. I think I got that right.
Pedagogical, which is a very fancy word for teaching.
Ah, sounds dirty, though.
Yeah, doesn't it?
A pedagogical sense.
Get away from those kids!
I'm being a pedagogical! I'm having a pedagogical visit!
Not on my watch, motherfucker! Back away from the children!
I'm going to the prison to have a pedagogical visit! What's the one word about race that we're not allowed to use? I would argue there's many words, but he said, "What's the one word we're not allowed to use?" Several seconds of silence followed his question before Shank offered up a hint, saying, "The word starts with an N." Like, "No, you didn't. No, that's not the word."
Nougat. Not allowed to mention nougat.
It's even hard to say, okay? Some say it rolls off the tip of their tongue, like Joe in traffic. Apparently, he continues. I'll tell you the word, and again, I'm not using it in any other way than to demonstrate a point. Fair enough, nay. Shank later apologized to students in an email sent Wednesday, according to Duquesne Duke, the university's campus newspaper. As part of my pedagogy, motherfucker, I don't like you because you keep using this word. As part of my pedagogy this morning, I used a term that I now realize was deeply troubling to the class. Now? It was not my intent to do, but I must take responsibility for the impact of my words and teaching. Sophomore Caitlin Black, isn't that ironic, said Shank's apology didn't do justice. It's like Mad Libs is writing this shit.
I didn't notice that before.
Neither did I. Sophomore Caitlin Black said Shank's apology didn't do justice to all the things he said during this session. He spent the entire 50-minute Zoom class apologizing, Black told the newspaper. Another student, Katie Rhodes, said Shank's class was one of the most uncomfortable she had ever endured. Radical insensitivity is never okay. Run-of-the-mill insensitivity is just
racial.
Fine. What?
Racial.
Oh, racial. Goddamn eyes.
He's just making up the words as he goes along.
My eyes are fucked. I told you I'm spent. Racial insensitivity is never okay, and for a professor to hide behind a racial slur by saying it was for educational purposes is extremely disappointing and made me appalled. After being put on leave, he was fired. Shank, who had taught at the Pittsburgh University since 1997, learned of his termination in a letter Wednesday sent by university officials, his attorney told the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Shank's attorney, meanwhile, said he plans to file a grievance on behalf of the fired professor. We have 30 days to grieve the termination and certainly will do, attorney Warner Mariani told the Post-Gazette Wednesday. University officials declined to comment Thursday on Shank's employment status, characterizing it as a personnel matter, while noting Duquesne took Shank's repeated use of a racial slur seriously. Duquesne University is deeply committed to providing a campus and learning experience that is respectful, safe, and inclusive for all members of the Duquesne community, Vice President of Marketing and Communications Gabe Wells said in a statement. Shank's profile on the university's website was no longer visible on Thursday. That's because it wasn't there. At least two groups have come to his defense, including the American Association of University Professors and the Philadelphia-based Foundation for Individual Rights in Education. Both groups claim Shank's use of the slur was protected under the university's commitment of freedom of expression and academic freedom. Officials at FIRE have also, that's appropriate, have also called on the U.S. Department of Education to investigate the matter. Duquesne students and faculty will rationally choose to say nothing rather than say something that others might find controversial, as the university won't bother to defend their rights. Alexandra Morey, who works in FIRE's Individual Rights Department, Rights Defense Program, said in a statement to the Post Wednesday, that's an unacceptable result at an educational institution of any caliber. All right, listen, I understand the students being offended. I understand it. I understand him using the word. I don't know if he had to keep on using the word. I think they got the point. I think he could have said the N-word. I think he could have said the word once. I don't know if you have to keep on saying it. We get it. And it's not just that word that you can't say anymore. That being said, he did apologize. You know, he did apologize. The guy's been there since 1997. Let's assume he's got a clean record. Let's assume there's never been an issue before. He's been there 23 years. He's already been put on leave. Do we got to end this man's career over this? He seems sorry.
It's ridiculous. It was a teaching point. Obviously, the teaching point was about the indignity of the word. And he used it, and if it got a response that was negative, well, yeah, that's why we don't use the word fully. It was in a teaching point. He wasn't talking about the basketball playoffs. I mean, it's ridiculous. And
Joe, I don't think you just used that that analogy as a teaching point. I must say,
it was a trigger.
I don't think you were trying to be pedagogical with that fucking use. I must admit.
Exactly, and that's my point. Caitlin Black said it didn't do justice to all the things he said during the session because it was a teaching point. You're supposed to, you know, you're teaching indignity on that. And sometimes they're being a little harsh on that. But, you know, it was a teaching point. He prefaced it that he was using the word in a teaching point. I mean,
yeah, but I don't think that gives you carte blanche to use the word. I think he could have said it once. I think he could have said it once. You guys get the point. I don't think you have to keep on saying it. Like I don't, you know, the use of the word, like, for when you're N-word rich would have been nuts. I don't think we need the Brazil nuts version of it too. We get it.
Unbelievable. Well, listen, there's a couple of things that I just want to unpack here. First of all, yes, nobody doesn't know what the N-word is. And if there was one kid in the class that didn't know what it was, he'll be like, I'll tell you later. Or I'll give you some clues. But you don't have to. You could maybe use it once if you felt you had to get your point across. But keep using it, you're a numbskull. That's an N-word that you need to look into, too. But the other thing is that whenever you have somebody that's, you know, I stay to be a teacher, so that's why I knew what pedagogical was. But pedagogy, the thing is that when you use words like that, you're usually using them in an academic environment. And it sounds to me like, because he kept using that word to defend what he was doing, he makes himself sound like, I live so much of the time in this ivory tower, I have no idea what the real world is like. So I think that because we're using it in an academic environment, it's okay for me to keep using it. Dude, no. No. So you need to go out into the real world a little bit more, and you need to broaden your horizons from being in a classroom. You don't use the word.
But he used it in three. He used it three times in a span of roughly 50 seconds. Okay, so let's take a minute. Okay, which he's emphasizing a point. It's not like he stopped and then 20 minutes later said, "And furthermore." Let me tell you about, you know.
Yeah, but Joe, I mean, have you heard the phrase "less is more"? One, you say it once and go, yeah, that's jarring. Today, that's jarring. That's why we don't say it. He could have done it with one. Like I said, that being said, see, I don't agree with Joe. I think there is a problem. That being
said, he should have made it into a rap song, and it would have been perfectly acceptable.
Funny.
Context is everything, though. Context matters. Listen, nobody's asking, you know, Jay-Z to teach a class in psychology, at least not that I know of. Like I said, I think he could have used it once. I don't think he had to keep on using it. The guy seems, I agree with Pip, he does not seem to be well-versed in how the kids view the lingo. He seems to be out of touch. I just don't know if we got to ruin the guy's 23-year career over this.
No. That seems excessive. I mean, I don't think that it was used in malice. I don't think that, you know, it was that egregious. I don't like using the word at all. I don't think that it should be used anymore. But having said that, I think that he could have been reeducated, disciplined, but you don't have to, like fire the guy for this.
The
thing about it is that they say, well, racial intensity is never okay, and for the press to hide behind, but if he's teaching about racial insensitivity, you know, I mean, in a span of less than a minute, as a teaching point, I think, yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with this. It's a word. Everybody runs like hell when you hear a word.
Yeah, but you know what? I think part of the reason. Listen, I don't get we don't get offended by words because we're comedians, and it takes a lot to offend us. And we're of a different generation. You know, I'll use a phrase that you know very well. You have to know your audience. You know, you and I walk into a room. We assess what we can get away with, what we can't get away with. He has to be in touch with the student body and know what's allowed, what's not allowed, what the sensitivities are.
But you would think is what I was talking about and why everybody got upset is for this reason. And we need to know it as a teaching point. For this reason is why everybody got upset, and I'm trying to show the indignity of the word.
But you could have done it once.
Got upset, and
you could have gotten that point across once. If he said it once, I'd be more like, okay, the students really overreact. I still think the students overreacted a little bit. But if he just would have said it once, I'd be a lot easier to defend this teacher. Go, he used it once. He used an example. He also should have used other examples from other religions. You could have used derogatory words for Italians, phrases for Italians, you know, Jewish people. You know, there's every example. So it doesn't seem like he did. It seems like it's just the N-word.
Now I have to disagree with you there, because I think that would have been worse if he started scattershot.
Yeah, but the rule of comedy is
you could think of.
The rule of comedy is you can't be offended if I make fun of everybody. So he would have been more.
I know, but it's like, hey,
you used that derogatory word about the blacks. All right, let's talk about the Jews. What a while.
Sure.
And you whore.
But think about it. But think about it. It would be more effective, and I don't know if he did or he didn't, but let's just for the argument's sake say he did not. It would be more effective how you go, listen, you know, it affects everybody. Nobody in our country has been immune from being in the barrel. Here's an example against Jewish people, Irish people, Italian, Catholics, boom. These are words I grew up with, phrases I grew up with, and throughout time, they got weeded out. As you can say, in the 1930s, we stopped using this derogatory time. Like, if you're teaching a class, let's make it educational. Now, you know, just recently we're not dropping the N-word. That's within the past 40 years, 30 years. But, you know, you can use, if you're teaching a class, know your history. Know when we stopped, you know, just casually dropping derogatory words against Jews or Irish. Teach the class. Make the point. Then you might have a better chance of going, everybody go, I get what he's saying. We've all been in the barrel, and it's all evolving. And the stuff that we say now, we're probably not going to be allowed to say 20, 30 years ago. Now you're teaching something. Now you're doing your job. Unfortunately, it just seems like all he was missing is, am I right? I mean, that's all. I was N-word rich. Am I right? You know what I'm talking about. Come on, you know.
What the hell was this thing about Brazil nuts?
I guess because they're black? I don't know.
Look at that Lexus out there with the spinners. That's what happens when you're rich.
Oh, God. Oh, God. No. I wouldn't have gotten that.
So my takeaway from this is it was not an effective lesson. It was poorly taught. The students did overreact somewhat. The guy, if he's apologizing for 50 minutes and writes an email and he's already been suspended, and if the guy does have a clean record and we have no indication that he doesn't, I don't think we have to end this man's career. I think everybody gets one. I think we could have given him a mulligan. Is that offensive to the Irish? I think that's an Irish name, but I think we could have given him a mulligan.
I'm offended.
You should be. I was trying to.
I think what happened is when he wound up, you know, hearing silence, I think he realized he put his foot in cow shit.
Been there. Done that. Oh, I'll show them. I'll win them over. I'll double down.
Well, I mean, it was in less than 50 cents, but I think after it's like when a bit doesn't go or something, or like that, yeah, I'm like, uh-oh. How do I do
that? The client was very upset. They called it a lecture. They're not going to pay. They only played half. They don't want to pay the rest. You need to write the client an apology letter. That's essentially what the professor did. We've all been there as comics. You work long enough, eventually you get to piss off a client. You said, what? What? I thought we were all having fun. They tipped me. I thought we were having a good time. No, no, no. You didn't read the room.
It's the funny thing. Oh, you wouldn't see me apologize like that. No, I had to apologize and forfeit my pay one night.
Yeah, you've told the story. We've all been there. If you speak enough for your living, if your job is speaking enough, whether it be professor or comedian or orator, whatever, eventually you're going to step in shit. We've all been there. This guy stepped in shit. It's a bad night. If he's genuinely sorry, accept his apology. He had a teachable moment. He can learn too. And he can even say, you know what? I learned something. You guys taught me something. We don't have to cancel everybody. It's just
right,
too
right,
much.
Yeah. So if yeah, right. So like I said, you know, he did spend 15 minutes apologizing for it. So they didn't have to let him go.
Yeah.
You know, it's a knee jerk reaction. Maybe they have a zero. Once again, it's the zero tolerance policy shit.
Yeah.
They don't look at the situation and evaluate it. They make just a knee jerk reaction to a zero policy, you know, a zero tolerance policy, which is bullshit. So yeah, he made a mistake on his lesson, and he owned up to it. He apologized. He shouldn't have let him go.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, if we're not going to accept, if this guy's not a repeat offender, and there's no indication he is, if we're not going to accept apologies, let's just fucking pack it up. And let's just let the perfect people be outside the house, because the rest of us are fucked.
And not many of us are damn near little.
Now I'm the only one I know.
In things like minimum sentencing mandates and, you know, zero tolerance policies and, you know, like you're a sex offender because you whipped it out to take a pee against a tree and it ended up being near a park. Come on. You have to use common sense, and we have to be able to, like, weigh and measure what is the offense and who got hurt, and, you know, does it really have to be, you know, go full...
There's one thing that unites the three of us on Davin's Den. It's an outstanding display of spite. In lieu of that, we'd like to introduce Outstanding Displays of Spite.
Ah, the Proud Boys hashtag, which members of the far-right group have been using, was trending Sunday after gay men on Twitter hijacked it. They jacked it. And flooded the feed with photos of their loved ones and families and with memes. The Proud Boys recently made headlines by celebrating President Trump's reply at last week's debate when he was asked to condemn white supremacists. The president instead uses a lot of time to blame what he called Antifa and the left for violence and to tell the Proud Boys to stand back and stand by. Okay. Another one who has problems with words. But now the gay men of Twitter are making the group's hashtag known for entirely different reasons. But fucking galore. No, I added that. Matt DeShane, one of the men who pitched in with photos of himself and his husband in efforts to overtake the hashtag, said his goal was simply to spread joy. Seeing the hashtag was so uplifting to Shane, who was from England, told CNN, "It feels like the movement for positive change for all is gathering momentum all the time. I'm glad to be a small part of it. By coming together rooted in respect and love for each other, the world can be so much better." But Enrique Tarrio, I can't roll my R's, Tarrio, motherfuckers. Enrique Tarrio, the leader of the Proud Boys, said he doesn't see what the men are trying to accomplish. "I think it's hysterical. Ha ha ha." He didn't do that, but I did. "This isn't something that's offensive to us. We fuck each other all the time, I tell you. It's not an insult. I was just blowing a dude." No. He goes, "We aren't homophobic. We don't care who people sleep with. People think it's got to bother us. It dozen. I just picked up some anal leaves for the fellers. He added, one of the messages they want to send with this is that they're trying to drown out our supporters. And they're trying to silence us. When you're trying to drown out other people's thoughts, I don't think there's anything progressive about that. Why don't these people just engage? Because angry people don't engage, stupid. It doesn't matter if you're left or right. Angry people don't engage. Don't you know? We don't use our hands. We fight with our hands. Our mouths. We fight like this. Get away. Where's my pussy hat? I'm not using my words. No words. No words. He added, one of the messages they want to send with us is the Tarrio, a Cuban American, also the leader of the grassroots group Latinos for Trump. The Anti-Defamation League called the Proud Boys' ideology misogynistic, Islamophobic, transphobic, and anti-immigration. Since Saturday night, the hashtag Proud Boys hashtag has been inundated with photos of gay men ranging from pictures of couples to memes and videos of gay men dancing. It could have been a lot worse, fellas. Good thing it's just videos of gay men dancing. Many people tweeted their support for the men who hijacked the hashtag. Good morning to nobody except the gays who hijacked the Proud Boys. Hashtag tweeted. I'm not reading her name. It's hard. Other people used the opportunity to share their stories of love. Next year, my husband and I will celebrate 25 years together. We had to move to Canada to legally marry and adopt two of our sons. We're back in the U.S. Our family has grown, and we're fighting to save this country. Here's us voting for Biden Harris and a blue ticket. Hashtag Proud Boys. Bryce Tosh tweeted. DeShane also shared a picture. Him and his husband. The reclaiming of hashtag Proud Boys is wonderful. Here's me and my husband together for 20 years and married for 3. Both very proud boys, he tweeted. Many Twitter users posted photos with their partners calling themselves the real hashtag Proud Boys. We grew up in time when gay men had no rights, when newspaper called us poofs. Poofs? When police didn't investigate when we were murdered, tweeted Patrick Strudwick, adding, we're the real Proud Boys. I mean, all right. I don't think every Proud Boys homophobic, but I did hear Gavin McInnes on a cut that Pip had, who's the founder of the Proud Boys, which Pip had on her Facebook page, said strangle, go out there and strangle a tranny. So I do think there are some. I think the Proud Boys are kind of like Antifa. They're like loosely affiliated. I think they're different from place to place where you go. You know, I think some are horrible, and then you got some. I think it's in like Utah that are marching with Black Lives Matters, and they distance themselves from Gavin McInnes and his statement. I think it kind of varies. I don't think there's any harm in this. I mean, as far as spite goes,
no. I can guarantee they're laughing their ass off at it.
I don't know if that.
The Proud Boys started on Gavin's show that was on Anthony's platform, and they were goofing around. And the Proud Boy is named after Ben Ratner, who was a liberal Jew who they were goofing around with. And basically, a lot of this stuff is farcical. And I've discussed it with Gavin and sitting with Anthony at the house. You know, and what happened is that the media ran away with this and they're labeling them as a hate group. So much so that it's destroyed Gavin's life. There's been threats made against his family, his children, you know, his livelihood. So, you know, I mean, for the whole thing, for this gay group to, you know, say they're going to take the word the Proud Boys, it's kind of in the spirit of how the whole thing was created as a fun.
Well, you have to see the clip that Pip shared. Now, granted, there's not a lot of context in between each time he's saying what Gavin said. Some pretty heinous things, some pretty violent things. There's no context. It does not look like he's laughing, like we're all having like jokes. Like, you know, if we say something horrible on this show, somebody's usually laughing or smiling. So I honestly don't know him the way you do, Joe. But knowing some of the supporters of that platform and what they like on there, I think what probably happened is maybe he was doing it for goof. He probably believes a lot of the heinous stuff, and it's probably ruined his life, and now he's upset. Like everybody gets ruined their life. They cry the mea culpa when they get caught with their pants down for the shit they said. I don't think, like I said, I don't think every Proud Boy is homophobic. I think it's a god awful name. I posted yesterday, whenever I hear the Proud Boys, I think of Warren's song "The Down Boys," and I really think the Proud Boys should show up like an '80s metal hair band, and like instead of like getting fights with like Black Lives Matter, Antifa, just do a little '80s choreography, like with the guitars. They show up with like a leather jacket with their no shirts, just going like that high hair. Who the hell could get mad at that shit? You know, the Proud Boys show up. Cool, we're gonna fucking party like it's 1988. That would be amazing. That's what the Proud Boys should do.
You could probably do that with them.
I would love to do that, but they kind of dress up. The ones I've seen,
the origin of the whole creation is absolutely ridiculous.
But there are some violent ones. I don't know, listen, I'm not going to say what's in everybody's heart. I don't know. But there are violent ones. They do cause problems and everything. I just think it's funny. I just think it's an outstanding display, despite out of all the things to get back up, we're going to gay up your feed. All right, that's kind of a cool time.
Like I said, they're laughing along with it. They're probably saying, oh, that's fucking hysterical.
I hope so. I hope so. I don't know. I have no idea.
I guarantee it. Well, you probably think it's the funniest goddamn thing. They're laughing their ass off because basically, like I said, it was a very, you know, it's got tongue-in-cheek origins on that. And basically, like I, there was a friend, there was a comment I think I made on one comic's page, and another comic clicked like, and that comic got very radical and unfriended the other guy and stuff like that. And I'm like, the guy's out of his, you know, out of his mind on this, you know, well, because he's Jewish, and it's like, oh, well, you know, Proud Boys hate Jews, but. They named it after a liberal Jewish kid.
Yeah, but Joe, sometimes what turns out, what starts as something morphs into something completely different. So let's take your version of the origin story as fact for the purposes of our conversation. Let's take it as fact that it started as a goof to have fun and no malice was meant. They've done violent acts. They've done hate. They're not sweet little nothings. We're doing a comedy show. I don't know what Gavin
and
was
neither going. And neither is Antifa. And we're not I don't see Antifa coming up the same scrutiny.
We're not talking about Antifa. Let's focus on what we're talking
but
about.
But still, it's on the same terms.
So gay up Antifa's feed.
And Antifa gets a pass once again.
Well, you fucking.
It's the liberal media looking for a scapegoat on stuff. And once again, Antifa gets a pass.
So find an outstanding display of spite against Antifa, and I'll do it on the show. Gay up Antifa's feed. I don't care. Go for it. If you gay up Antifa's feed, it will be an outstanding display of spite on the show. You have my word. What do you want me to tell you, Joe? I'm doing an outstanding display of spite. That's what this was.
I know. But I'm saying it's just, you know, but what I'm saying on their end, they're laughing along with it.
Well, I don't know if it's all of them. That's all I'm saying. You really do have to take a look at the clip, and I shared it too. I shared it from Pip's page because maybe you can add some context to it. You watch the shows because what I saw was not, hey, we're all having a goof here and we're all in on it. And like I said, the Proud Boys in Utah that are marching with Black Lives Matter, they said, no, we distance ourselves from Gavin McInnes, who's doing Heil Hitler signs and this, that. They go, that guy's a fool. That's not what we're about. So that's why I said, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. I'll give individual Proud Boys the benefit of the doubt. I've seen ones that are not like that Utah one. So watch the clip that was on Pip's page and give some context to it. Because from what I saw, it was not. It did not look like a fun time being had by all. It sounded like an angry guy looking to stir up shit. That's what it sounded like. And we know that element exists on that platform. Next, not necessarily the hosts, but we know that element from some of the fans exists on that platform because we were victims of it. I mean, listen, we know that. They wished you dead, with barely knowing you. Only the people that know and love you wish something like that on you, Joe. You know. So.
Well, you know, I'm reading from Newsweek. In one segment, McInnes posts about how the group's members will kill you. That's the Proud Boys in a nutshell. He also directly states that he's calling for violence and adds that violence solves everything. We need more violence from the Trump people, Trump supporters. Choke a motherfucker. Choke a bitch. Choke a tranny. Get your fingers around a windpipe, McInnes can be heard saying over a clip of the unrest which took place in New York in 2018. McInnes also tells listeners on his show to get a gun and get ready to blow someone's fucking head off. So he's a nice boy.
I'll tell you what, that is not easy comedic material. He's tackling some topics. It's going to be hard to get laughs and yucks on that stuff. But I saw the quotes, and like I said, he wasn't smiling. It wasn't like ironic. You know, like I could see Anthony saying, you know, choke a tranny with his little Anthony giggle and everything, and like being part of a bit. I could actually see Anthony doing that, and I would watch it and go, all right, I don't know if he should have said that, but I don't think he really thinks that. If you watch the Gavin McInnes clips, there was no laugh. There was no smile. It was fucking serious. So that's why I invite you to check it out, Joe, and come back and give us context for it. That's all. All right.
All right.
So let's do some... So I'll give you a little background on this. One of my anti-scamming friends from Germany got friend requested by a voodoo medicine man. So
awesome.
So she gave me the profile, so we will do some scam busters. I got some of the passages on his page, on his Facebook page. I sent you guys his profile. I don't know if you guys checked it out. Did you guys look at the profile?
Yeah, I did.
All right. He goes by the name Nana Monday. Never a good day for nanas. Nana Monday. He goes,
you leave my Nana alone.
Get rich today with no human blubble. That's a relief. Is by what you do to help people. They will use to advertise you, so many people have come and witnessed the good deed of my gods. Are you in search of a high voodoo master? Chief Ganda, a.k.a. Malam Gamda, is a great spirit.
He's got an a.k.a.
And we all got a.k.a.s.
He needed another name.
Is a great spiritual native doctor. Chief Ganda Gamda, I'm recognized as one of the top fortunate and most specialist doctor of Charb's caste from beginning of my ancestors until now. It was like on the who's who of voodoo doctors. Of my ancestors until now lives vigorous among all other native doctors. Again, another motherfucker that hates a period. He only gives me a comma after all that. There have never been any form of impossibility beyond the control of me. If you need any spiritual help, you can contact WhatsApp me on, and then he gives the number. Then here's another passage. I am the great chief, but many people call me Malam. I call you a motherfucker. I am from Mali, but now in Ghana, northern region, a village called Buliga. I am here to help my fellow human being in the name of the almighty Allah. Really? What does Allah need your fucking help for? Your name's not Muhammad.
Wait, and Allah doesn't have to do with voodoo. What are you doing?
He's a Muslim voodoo guy. I put God first in front of my work because he'll get pissed. I put God first in front of my work because I know whatever I am doing in this world, God is looking at me and I'm aware of death, and I know God is going to pay every human being for what he or she done in this world. At the day, all of us, as we will be in front of God, again, no period, because that would make this shit easy. Please, my brother, make sure you put God first of everything you are doing in this world. Please, my fellow human being, don't say you are tired. Remember, only God knows the right person. This is your time. Please try and call me on the line. What's your problem like? And list some problems, some things he can help with. And this is where I really need the audience to pay attention, because I can't solve all your shit. I'm busy. I'm trying to solve Trump and Biden's problems, and their problems are considerable. So you guys are going to have to call Malam over here. You need instant money? He's your guy. Work of leadership? I don't even know what the fuck that means. Money rituals? He's your guy. Business to move forward? Joe, you might want to contact him for Weight of the World.
Tammy's listening. She's like, no.
Lotto number? How many lotto numbers is this motherfucker giving out? Then what? A million of us share it? I don't buy that shit. Marriage problems again, Joe. That ship sailed. You might have wanted to call this guy. You should have gone to the mediator and the therapist. You should have called a little voodoo doctor. Promotion in workplace, Pip. You could have used this. You might still be employed if you would have contacted him. Luck of jobs? I could certainly use that right now. I'm all out of jobs. Clint problem?
What problem?
Clint.
What?
Clint. I think that has to do with the Yankees' Clint Frazier when he wasn't getting any playing time and he was sent to the alternate site. I think what happened is Clint Frazier contacted this voodoo guy and that's how he started hitting and became a mainstay on the Yankees. That's your Clint problem.
Clint problem. Okay, because I thought it was Quint problem, and I thought we needed a bigger boat.
No, it's a Clint. Sickness, again, Pip didn't need the operation. Court case, probably Joe should keep this in his back pocket. Traveling to abroad? Well, yeah, I am. I am traveling to abroad. Police station case? Who needs Black Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter? We just get this guy, it's all taken care of. Girlfriend, boys problems? Football solution? Don't wait. You can call me now and see what I will do to you. I got an idea what you'll do to me.
Really?
He's also, I'm great spiritual helper. My name is Great Na Muhammad Salifu. I'm here to help anybody who needs help. Is the following: instant money, lotto numbers, commanding spirit. Sometimes you get an unruly spirit. Charming money. I got to tell you, I didn't like
that. Get out of your wallet.
Coffee money.
you're...
Coffee money. You can't afford a Frappuccino? Give some money to the voodoo guy. You'll have the Frappuccinos coming out your ass. Snacks money?
Ew.
Snacks money. You don't have enough money for the vending machine? Go to this guy all of a sudden.
Oh, my God.
For boys and girls, marriage, well, reachers, I don't know what that means. Power for Yahoo boys, that's the scammers. We know they use them. Yahoo boys are scammers. Ring for protection, power to make church, Sakawa money, blood money, bag money, backet money, double money, commanding money, job problem, mobile money top up, your phone's running low, he's your guy. Travel problems, yeah, we're not allowed to travel anywhere. Visa problem, goal to move out, court case, I think he meant court case. Police station case, political power to win, promise and fair, and many more. If you have any world from my or you have seriously money problems, then don't waste time. Come to me or call me or WhatsApp me. The great Astro. Altuve? It's Jose Altuve. The great Astro. On this content.
Astro?
Astro.
Ruh-roh.
Ruh-roh.
Your problems will never be the same again. I promise you call or WhatsApp me. How are you? I'm your spiritual helper, instant money. Let's see, anything else here? Enemies protection, financial problems, joining my group and be rich forever, scam powers. I think he means powers. No human being for sacrifice. So he's like sacrificing like chickens and shit like that. He's not using real human beings. And then there's, let's see, what else? Promotion of workplace. Oh, client problem. That's what client problem is. Client problem. So that's those are scam victims.
Problems. What is a gynecologist on the side?
Yeah, it's a clit problem. So a client problem is a scam. Well, that's what they call the scam victims, clients.
Yeah.
Sickness, court case, travel. Oh, when you want something from someone, don't we all? When you want powerful, when you need population inside your church or works and many more, when your church sucks dick and nobody's buying your bullshit, come to me. Let's see. Midweek. Our management wish to congratulate all newly registered members. It's a fucking club. And all customers on their achievements in our unfailing genuine number in Tuesday Lotto, Lucky Tuesday, as our two short play successfully. May your lives always shower you with such great success and happiness. For all those who doubt it, will loose a great opportunity. It's the beginning of another week, and we're presenting to all of you a quick and reliable cash-making opportunity for all those who have never won Lotto before. Two direct, unfailing, genuine winning numbers is fully ready to play without failure on Tuesday. And what happens if you do fail? What happens? If I won, why would I have to keep on going to you? Why would I need to be a member? I just don't like the business model, and for that reason, I'm going to pass. I feel like I was in Shark Tank. The motto is, we are different among the rest, and your winning is always assured. So Isaac's new love writes, we will always want to call, but the conditions are too much, madam. How I go pay 100 CDs or 200 CDs for registration before you give me the two sure? Madam, money no debt. So that he doesn't want to pay up front.
Yeah.
And then Ibrahim Abdul Kudu says, what will scamming do you? Change your bad ways. Jesus is coming.
I like that under one of these parts, my eye just glanced and I saw get rich today with no human blood. What the fuck?
It means nobody on a period.
Exactly what it says, Pip. Exactly. Yeah. What
it says if you're menstruating, don't bother calling.
Okay. Well, I passed all of that, so I can still call.
Yeah. It's just interesting that this is still a thing. I guess not. I guess it's not interesting. Never mind. You guys there?
Well, yeah. I didn't hear what you said.
I said I just thought it was interesting that like these guys are still out there.
Oh yeah, God!
They'll always be out there. There's too many of them, and they're not really going to get. You know, I'm surprised that it's. I mean, this is off of Facebook. I'm sorry. Apparently, Facebook is asleep at the wheel on this shit.
Right.
But I don't know if they violated anything. I mean, he's just a businessman.
Uh-huh. Wait a minute. My Nana is a scammer?
Your Nana is a scammer.
No, Nana, no.
So I just thought that was a little different. Just kind of interesting. All this shit. You know, just a little membership.
Oh, but,
you
sure.
Know, it's funny. With all the standards that, you know, Facebook has suddenly had, you know, mm-hmm. and this gets through... You know, I mean, you can't see what's going on here. You know, it's bullshit.
Well, I think Facebook would intervene if there was human blood.
Yeah, and so apparently you don't need any, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I don't know. Just thought it was, I thought it was funny.
And this person has over 4,000 friends.
Yeah, because he's friend requesting everybody. You friend request enough people, they'll accept. They don't know who you are.
Oh, my God. It's scary out there.
And he's like a freaking ambulance chasing lawyer. He's touching everybody. Even Sakawa's in there. You know? I'll handle
it. Yeah.
That's like a slip and fall in the scammer world. Power, you know?
And he's got all these pictures like they all do of like money. It's always like, oh, let me have pictures of people buried in money. Money's filthy. I don't want that on me.
No.
You know, he's a guy in the bathtub. You know, he's just in there smoking a cigar. I'm just bathing in 20s. You know?
It's so weird.
Like, what did you, have you ever heard of a bank, stupid? You know, you're keeping your money in a bathtub?
It's such a weird thing, these guys.
It is. And them all, like, you know, talking about using words that have to do with spirituality or religion, and meanwhile they're holding all this cash up like, ooh, look at this. It's just as bad as the people who have those big fake televangelist churches and they're scamming their poor shut-ins for money.
You know where we are in this country? Donald Trump just needs to come out and go, I'm going to solve the country's problem. I got a guy. I found him on Facebook. And he calls this motherfucker out and he strolls it out to the Rose Garden. That's where we are in this country. Stroll Nana Monday out in the Rose Garden. Let him do his fucking shit with a snake and everything. And go, no, go home. Everybody has winning lottery numbers. It's all good. It's okay. There is no human blood. Problem solved. 4 more years. That's where we are in this country.
Meanwhile, Fauci's like, I'm after him, right?
Who?
Fauci.
Oh. Fauci can't even get on that stage. We got more chance of hearing Nana Monday.
Well, I think Nana Monday was the one who financed that one doctor that he brought out, and it turned out she was all kinds of crazy.
Yep. Just another Nana Monday. Sunday is my Sakawa day. No human blood on Tuesday. Just another Nana Monday.
I know. It's like I'm reading this stuff, and it's just like, would anybody that doesn't know as much as we do about scammers, is there anybody that would read this stuff and go, oh yeah, this is for me?
I could tell you one thing.
There had to be at least two people that goofed on Nana Monday in front of him about his name who are now chickens.
Yeah. They get used in the sacrifice.
Yeah. No, they turned him into a chicken.
You know what Nana Monday's doing? Yes, I'm going to sacrifice a chicken. And what he does is he like whips out an 8-piece and fucking eats it. That's what Nana Monday's doing.
It's like, oh no, wait a minute. You're mixing Allah and Santeria. It's getting out of control.
Got a little something for everybody in there.
It just sounds like they're answering. So when are you coming over? Nana Monday. I can't hear on my hearing aid. It's the battery. Nana Monday.
Nana Monday. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Sunday is my juju day, so it's just another Nana Monday. Fucking love this guy. I was thinking of actually calling him up.
Yeah, really? And ask him for advice.
I was going to do it, but then if he turns me into a chicken, you guys can't run this shit.
We're fine. No.
I can't peck all the keys that need to happen. There I am trying to peck, get the show on the air. I fucking lay an egg because I panic. We can't have that.
Yeah.
So, Devin, do you have any shows coming up?
Joe starts looking at me, licking his lips. I can't have that.
Do we have to talk about where the best feed is again? All right.
Joe's like, I'm not doing the show anymore. He keeps on clucking at me, and I don't like his tone.
Yeah.
Oh, Joby, oh, look at the Joby, look at the liberal chicken with the brown eggs, all inclusive. Can't have that.
Don't mention, I know where it's a comedy show, but don't mention rubber chickens to him. He gets very upset.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe tries to be all pedagogical on it and calls them end chickens, end chicken eggs. Then there's a protest outside my coop. I can't do it, folks. I can't do it.
Your ivory coop.
My ivory coop.
Ivory tower.
Yeah.
There's protesters sitting there waiting for you down at the bottom of the ramp. You don't want.
You can't have it. I am just scratching alone in my lone little fucking coop all by myself. Can't have that. No, all because I had to do a comedy bit on the radio. No, can't take the risk. We're gonna have to leave Nana Monday Funday alone.
Really?
Oh god!
Right.
Slowly back from the segment.
What?
Everybody just walks slowly back away from the segment.
Yeah. Bagar! Bagar! Wife's all pissed off. I didn't marry a chicken. You're not even a rooster.
I mean, when I call you a cock, I wasn't meaning it literally.
There it was. I was waiting to see who would do the first cock joke. There it was. Pip could never say no to cock. Anyway, all right. Let's take our final break, and we'll come back with some scamming scammers. Lilith B with Hungry Beast and Stacey Z with Little Angel, and you can learn more about both of them at deucemusic.com. Short break. Be back. Last segment.